In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. As whistleblowers within the unaccountable black operations make headline news about reverse-engineered alien technology and special access programs, the conversation at times include Obama's educational exchange program with China called the Thousand Talents Program. Professors within the program have been investigated, indicted, and charged, as many researchers have pointed out, including Josh Reed. The Thousand Talents Program has been the subject of focus in connection with Wuhan University of Technology and Wuhan Institute of Virology. It was during the Trump administration the education exchange program with China was shut down, and the U.S. Department of Justice investigated the various colleges and professors involved. One important case involves Harvard professor Charles Lieber, who had National Science Foundation and special access program links. On trial in a Boston federal court, Lieber faced 6 counts of tax evasion, failing to disclose foreign bank accounts, and hiding his collaborative work with China. Harvard professor Charles Lieber is known worldwide for his work in developing implantable nanosensors in the human body. I'm curious if Lieber was involved in a program that accessed the brain trust of Chinese scientists to continue developing nanotech implants originally sourced from reverse-engineered alien technology. Is this the tip of the iceberg and could be the reason why whistleblowers are coming forward? We learned more about Professor Lieber from Miriam Hanen, who has written extensively about his case and the implications of his work into nanotechnology. Miriam is an investigative journalist, founder and editor-in-chief of the health magazine and marketplace Honey Colony. She is also a functional medicine consultant coach and the director of the award-winning documentary film Vanishing of the Bees. Miriam, welcome to Another News.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
Miriam, you've written many articles about Professor Charles Lieber, his work and his federal case, the wider implications within the engineered pandemic. What sparked your interest in writing about this Harvard professor?
Well, in October 2021, I was offed from Twitter for calling out and making links between this Harvard professor and graphene oxide and 5G. And so after I got deleted and a decade of my tweets were scrubbed, I decided to make it my mission to become an expert of Charles Lieber. I had reported on his arrest on January 28th, 2020, on the heels of the first ever lockdown in our history, which was Wuhan. And when that occurred, I have been covering vaccines and vaccine safety since 2012. What came to mind was that something being aerosolized or being injected in the people of the Hubei province or China was parlaying with 5G. And I was told that that was crazy, even though my tweet said theorized. And then come 2 years later, a year and a half later, I noticed that people were starting to bring attention to graphene oxide and nanotech. So I went and I found the original tweet and I wrote, "You'll see, graphene oxide is the secret sauce. Where are you, Charles Lieber?" And 10 minutes later, I was deleted. And so I started my foray into him, and I've written a dozen articles or so. I've done shows. I do a presentation at the Reawaken Tour showing how nanotech is very much involved under the Rona regime.
I read, according to the Justice Department, there's a link to China in about 60% of all trade secret theft cases and about 80% of all economic espionage prosecutions involve conduct that would benefit the Chinese government. I would imagine that seeing Professor Charles Lieber's connections with the Wuhan University of Technology right next to the Wuhan Institute of Virology would have got the gears turning for you as an investigative journalist and a documentary filmmaker.
Well, I really found it interesting later on, I'll rewind, but when they scrubbed the China initiative from the DOJ website and called it a colossal blunder, speaking in which of what you just mentioned, the role of the CCP and just the sheer fact of scrubbing an entire initiative. And if you didn't know better, to go look in the archives, this is very a la 1984, where we're vaporizing and rewriting our history. Some people would say that the CCP is a creation of the United States. Regardless, globalists know no borders. So in this coronavirus and the origin story, for instance, it's comical to me to make China the bad guy. And in regards to Harvard, you can see I purchased all the exhibits from the trial, and you can see in one exhibit where it says Joint Nano Lab. And I find it very hard to believe that the NIH didn't know or Harvard didn't know. And yes, there's the Wuhan Virology Institute, and then there is WIV. And they're not to be confused, but he won the friendship. Charles Lieber won the friendship award. He's very much ensconced and prized. He is a prized asset. If you look at, for instance, his daddy, who was arguably a satellite spy, worked for RCA. If you look at the history and you see how this man has won many awards and the exhibits where he's on video admitting to bringing money in paper bags. Now, if you imagine what would happen if you did that, or if I did that, and then while they claimed, the DOJ claimed that they put the hammer down and were going to find justice, later on, several scientists came together and circulated a petition, and it was also positioned that the China initiative was not only a colossal blunder, but was xenophobic. But you're right, in a lot of these instances, there is intellectual property that is being shared. And Charles Lieber, you know, when you have Neuralace, Neuralink, and the path to singularity, in Kurzweil's book, there's a paragraph that says that the mRNA, the nanolipid, is going to replace the human cell. So he is really a nanotech king. He's responsible for 66 plus patents. And if you look at the patents, not only of growing this technology or having it inserted in your brain, but he's also responsible, for instance, for creating cyborg heart tissue, which is amazing as we are normalizing heart issues and myocarditis. Well, yay, Charles Lieber has a solution for that.
You made a reference to a book. Whose book is that again? So listeners might be able to look that up.
The Singularity is Near, When Humans Transcend Biology, and it's a nonfiction book by Ray Kurzweil. And it is a very big, fat book. I scoured the entire book and every reference to nanotech. It's a for sure read if you want to find out what the real plans are in reference to transhumanism, because we wouldn't be where we are without Charles Lieber. And in fact, while he was supposedly being apprehended, he was also still doing his science. So Wuhan University of Technology sought to promote Chinese interests through a close association with preeminent scientists from all around the world, and Charles Lieber participated in the Thousands Talents Program, the TTP.
Miriam, would you please talk more about the carbon nanotube and biowarfare? There's discussion about how there is a coronavirus nanotube 5G delivery system.
Okay, so a weaponized 5G wireless nanotube coronavirus delivery system that was paid to Charles Lieber to build for the NIH, DARPA, Gates Foundation, the Wellcome Trust, which is the Perbright Institute, Glasgow Smith Kline, and the Pilgrims Society. So it's called the Weaponized 5G Wireless Nanotube Coronavirus Delivery System, and Fauci paid Charles Lieber to build it for the NIH, DARPA, the Gates Foundation, Wellcome Trust, and the Pilgrims Society. So basically, water molecules can suspend the supposed live coronaviruses inside carbon nanotubes that are ingested from a sneeze, from air, from water, from a drink, from contact. And then the water in the nanotube is then heated by 5G millimeter-wave stimulus, and it causes the water pressure in the nanotube to expel the water and its coronavirus payload. So perhaps the listeners have heard of these hydrogel payloads where you can hide things, and then with the interaction of certain millimeter wave stimulus, it releases. So the nanotube is excreted harmlessly, and then the water is absorbed naturally, and here you have the coronavirus is released to infect a target, another person. So is this used to keep us safe, or is this used as a weapon? Regardless, there is a relationship between 5G, which is invisible to the eye, and what is inserted in these nanotubes that are courtesy of Charles Lieber. Now, under the coronavirus, all the industries were forced to shut down, but the truth is, under the 5G fast plan, erecting these cell towers was a very booming industry. The former lobbyist for the FTC said that we would be connecting everything possible under the sun. Anything and everything that can be connected will be connected. And so it's unfortunate that humans don't put enough credence on things that they can't see. So, you know, they could say that if it's the CCP or the Chinese that are working to engineer coronaviruses, they would call it a bioweapon. But when the Americans do it, it's for our public health. But I would argue, again, that globalists know no borders, and that they are messing with technology that can be used to take people out in a depopulation agenda, and also as part of the transhumanist agenda.
Yes, Miriam, and you've written about this in a number of your articles on Vaxxer.com and Sherry Tenpenny's website. Really thorough, solid articles. If listeners want to go online and look up your name, Miriam Heinen, MaryamHenien. John Rappaport has written extensively as well about Charles Lieber. And in one of his articles, he writes, here are quotes from the journal Nano Today, from a 2019 paper titled, Nanowires Probes Could Drive High-Resolution Brain-Machine Interfaces. Its authors are Chinese and American. And here's a quote. Advances can enable investigations of dynamics in the brain through tiny sensor implants and drive the development of new brain-machine interfaces with unprecedented resolution and precision. Another quote, output electrical signals of brain activity or input electrical stimuli to modulate brain activity in concert with external machines, including computer processors and prosthetics for human advancement. Now, I know one of Charles Lieber's developments was a brain-activated mouse, a computer mouse. But as you just said, aside from research into, I guess, cancer treatment, prosthetics, and perhaps the reversal of certain paralysis, this avenue of investigation also suggests modulation of the brain hooked to machines for the purpose of control, control of thoughts, sensations, emotions, and along with the Internet of Things, which you've written a lot about, why couldn't that control eventually be extended into harmonizing many, many brains with one another?
Yeah. The hive mind. Absolutely. There's a fine line presenting this technology for public health, but I say that it's health, H-E-L-L-T-H. Again, Neuralink would not be possible without Charles Lieber's Neural Lace. Charles Lieber also co-founded Vista Therapeutics, and that uses nanowires to develop, like you said, these biosensors that can accurately detect levels of biomarkers. But what if, you know, they're recording our thoughts? I want to say that this is an Overton window, and we're boiling frogs, and you have to have vision. This is when knowing about Tavistock and the long directional game. This is about gradualism. I would argue that we've taken part in a worldwide live exercise that's still going on. In reporting on the Neuralace or Neuralink involving Elon Musk and UC Davis, I did a couple of stories. What occurred was several monkeys, I mean, 1,500 at least, monkeys, Macaque monkeys, have died in experimenting this neural lace. And now they've stopped. Elon has said, we have gone as far as we can because the monkeys can't talk back and they need to have feedback. And what's even spookier is, you know, it's not realistic to scale up with, let's say, 100 neuroscientists. So they've even created a robot to put in the robot parts in the human, and it'll go into the skull. And there's no lack of Elon Musk fanboys that will sign up. So now they're saying it's to heal Parkinson's, it's to heal blindness, but that's not the ultimate. That's just the front. And what if they're going to be able to record our thoughts, you know, tell you, oh, this person's about to have a heart attack, or this person's about to commit a crime in a Minority Report kind of way. But it's really ultimate control over the human. And then there is talk, like you said, to have this plug in to the metaverse and have a hive mind where you're all connected. Now, after reporting on Neuralink and UC Davis, and this Physicians for Responsible Medicine is a nonprofit that ultimately did a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, and then Elon came, took all of his video, because there was not only written accounts of the animals and what they were going through, like scabbing, infections, scratching at these scars on their brains, but then they took the video. There's nonprofits that care about animals, but I would argue strongly that we are the animals now. We are the lab rats, and I do not think that it's all benevolent.
Thank you for going into detail there and connecting into the Internet of Bodies. I mean, there's the Internet of Things, Internet of Bodies, and specifically you went into the Neuralink and nanosensors connected into the brain. Charles Lieber's work and research is part of that. Now, getting into the fifth generation millimeter waves and radiation. I recently read that radiation poisoning symptoms are similar to COVID symptoms. Could you talk, please, about what you've unearthed about fifth generation millimeter wave frequency, or 5G, and nanomesh, nanosensors in the body, and the work of Charles Lieber?
Okay, so first I'd like to address the similarities between radiation poisoning and supposed coronavirus symptoms. I'll start by saying that in 2018, as fate would have it, I lived on a 5G test street in Beechwood, California. And I am very sensitive. I have multiple chemical sensitivities. At the time, I was living with mold and I was dealing with that. And I noticed that my symptoms were worse and I didn't know what to attribute it to. Now, we are electricity and water, and I'm also a functional medicine coach and consultant. So I was looking into mold and I came across Dr. Klinghart, who is a brilliant functional medicine practitioner. He conducted a study to looking at two petri dishes. There's mold and then there's the mold spores, the mycotoxins that are dead but deadlier. And one was surrounded by a Faraday cage. The other petri dish emitted 400 times more mycotoxins. So the idea is that these ultra high millimeter waves agitate fungus, pathogens, parasites. Again, we are water and we are electricity. And there's a lot of debate on downplaying 5G, saying that it's harmless. When I got sick in Miami a year and a half ago, it was exact same time that they were amping up the 5G. I know that because they literally stopped the airplanes from taking off. This wasn't conspiracy. Literally, they said the planes weren't leaving because of 5G. So I got sick, lost my sense of smell and taste, which scared me very, very much. And because I have super nasal powers, and I think the sense of smell is very underrated, but primordial. And then I had watery stools, and I was throwing up. This nothing had to do with the respiratory illness. Nothing was wrong with my lungs. And I was writing, ironically, for Dr. Tenpenny, for Vaxter, now the Tenpenny Report. And I realized, wow, that is radiation poison. Now, in reference to the nanomesh, it's very sad to me, still today, 3 years later, since we first learned about Charles Lieber, that it's very much downplayed, this interaction between something external, 5G, perhaps 6G, and the Internet of Bodies, and this interplay, when there are patents that show how something externally will impact the internal. Now, as far as the carbon nanotube nanomesh, you can find Charles Lieber's name on several patents having to do with this interaction between an external 5G wave and something inside of our bodies. Now, the idea or the way they're presenting it is that it would be recording your internal biomarkers, right? But what if it's the other way around and certain waves are being targeted to the person? Now, after writing these articles, for instance, regarding Neuralink, I've had several people approach me and tell me that they have this stuff inside of their bodies and asking me for help. Now, I'm not one. Many would just say, oh, they're crazy. But I would not be one. I couldn't help them, but I wouldn't be one to discount them. And then that also kind of bleeds into possible gang stalking and certain waves that could be directed to people. I know that in, let's say, South Beach, I feel the 5G. I'm very sensitive, but not everybody is that sensitive. And so they could be just discounted and you know, summed up as cuckoo.
Now, regarding the people coming up to you speaking about the nanosensors, or they can tell that there's something inside of them, that's powerful. And I did read Monoatomic Gold, which isn't very expensive, does help eliminate that nanotech inside people's bodies. Now, I read it. I'm just saying, research that, because there might be some help in that direction.
I'd like to say, so, you know, just to sum up, that these nanoparticles, the idea would be that they can be activated, right, by 5G microwaves in the body. And so someone can arguably influence them, control them, change our information field, the quantum field, our DNA. And this is what you're describing as a neural mesh. But because it's still pretty out there. I mean, you know, we're having still a hard time telling people that big pharma doesn't have the best interest. And I think on one hand, a lot of people got the flu because the flu, wow, disappeared from the face of the planet, but that others got something that is a bioweapon that is not natural, that didn't feel natural. I have people in my life that are long haulers, quote unquote, that are still contending. And when they got sick, and they said that it did not feel natural. And people can find through the Birbright Institute that there was patents and studies funded by the Wellcome Trust and DARPA and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the EU, the US Patent Office. So this is not sci-fi. This is true. In Wuhan, when this hit, China, the Hubei province was the first place in China to launch 5G. So one has to wonder what these waves can do. And if anyone has read about HARP, for instance, they should not discount the capability of certain frequencies when, again, we are electricity and water.
We are. We're electricity and water. Electricity is a very important component in our biological functions, especially our heartbeat. In Wuhan, China, there are multiple 5G antennas, I've read, that were used along highways for self-driving vehicles. It's just interesting. You have Charles Lieber, you have the Thousand Talents Program, Charles Lieber working with multiple Chinese scientists on nanosensors, developing implantable nanotechnology that could and would be activated by fifth generation millimeter waves. You have that technology installed right there within Wuhan, China. And then you have the broader connection with how it all fits together, which is the title of an article that you wrote for Vaxter. Recently, headlines are in newspapers about the Atlanta airport using digital face recognition IDs, adopting China's model for 24/7 surveillance, and another recent story, residents are pushing back against smart city technology in San Diego. And this article you wrote for Vaxter titled How It All Fits Together, you have the smart cities, 5G, street lamps with microphones and cameras, appliances connected to the Internet of Things. And before we get further into the Internet of Bodies, would you please talk more about smart cities in the context of Professor Lieber's work?
When the coronavirus hit and everybody was locked down, as I said earlier, that what was initiated was the 5G fast plan, actually before the coronavirus. So everything and that could be connected would be connected. And so this were Internet of Things and smart cities, where we're really looking at a kind of CCP existence. Like what I hear in London is it's the worst, that there's no area that doesn't have cameras. And even though I'm not in San Diego, actually South Beach, there's cameras every few feet. And you have to wonder, why are all these cameras along the borders, and how is this going to play, into a social credit system, and what's the role of the smart cities? Well, when you can't go anywhere without being on camera, that's quite disturbing. And if you're not an abiding citizen, like, you know, I shared with you off camera that I'm very censored, but this is a way, not only censored, they have attacked my ability to make a livelihood. And so I'm not a good obedient sheeple. I'm not a good citizen. I'm an errant. I'm a defiant. I speak out. I speak up. And for that, I will be punished. So not even before getting into the smart cities, let's say you shop on Uber Eats and you complain and you exercise your right to say, this is not what I ordered. Well, you're then banned, or you're no longer allowed to ask for a refund. Isn't this paving the way to a social credit system? And so in China, you see the cameras. They're using smart glasses to spot criminals. There's cameras. There's smart meters now, smart cars, smart roads, smart phones, smart cities, smart. But is it really smart, or is it quite deviant and wicked? Do you want to be living in a world where you have no privacy? Now, some people would say, I rather give up, forfeit my privacy for convenience. I remember I was still living in Los Angeles, and someone said, yeah, for my convenience. I think we were talking about Clear, is it Clear One, or the where they scan your retina, you can bypass. And then after, actually, in I think it was September 2020, I came back from Costa Rica, where I fled knowing this pandemic was coming, and no one was still flying, so the airport was relatively empty. People were scared, and I was at customs, and I was watching the people in front of me, and they were all lining up in front of, I suspected, a camera. Nobody said, hey, what's that? So, of course, I did. And I said, what's that? Oh, it's to make things easier so you don't have to show up your passport. I go, oh, all 10 seconds of me needing to whip out my passport? That's what you're trying to? No. I would even argue that the masks were used to perfect the AI face recognition so that it can overlook and identify you despite covering your mouth. And I opted out of that program. I forget the name of the program offhand. But this smart city will interact with whatever is inserted. You know, at first they're going to be wearables, right? It's not necessarily, lots of people are going to have to die before they perfect their neural lace. That's for sure. So the first, there's going to be wearables, and there are wearables. And I started writing about techno-fascism and censorship in 2019 as they were buying Fitbit, as Google, Calico, Verily, and Alphabet, which have invested interest. They're really a big pharma company. They're really a drug company now. Google had invested in purchasing data, and that's the first step. And of course, it's all positioned for the benefit, for safety, and for health. But I would argue that's not the case.
Yes, and that's a really interesting article that was published on Vaxter that you wrote, titled How It All Fits Together, if listeners want to take a look at that. Our guest is Miriam Heinen. And we're talking about her research and writings on Harvard professor Charles Lieber. This individual faced 6 counts of tax evasion, failing to disclose foreign bank accounts, and he was hiding his collaborative work with China. He didn't want people in the federal government to know about his work into nanosensors in connection with fifth-generation wireless radiation and nanosensors in the body. He didn't want people connecting these dots. But our guest relentlessly had done that, and she has faced some retribution, and which has happened to a lot of people researching into this realm, especially early on. I just found out about Charles Lieber through the research of people such as Josh Reed that are going into detail about the black operations and the whistleblowers. And it was mentioned that some of these professors had special access program connections. This is access to reverse engineered alien technology. And I know it's a jump, but I wondered about Professor Charles Lieber and his name being mentioned in this context. And these are deeply classified materials, and some of which are known to have documents related to reverse engineered alien technology. And I'm wondering if whistleblowers are coming forward now because of the larger implications of forcibly integrating humans with nanosensors and then hitting them with the 5G frequency. Have you thought about that?
I'm surprised, Jeff, that there aren't more whistleblowers. I don't personally need whistleblowers to know the deeper agenda. But, I mean, what you've said is touching upon a lot of things. I personally do not think that this is necessarily human. I don't, there's this trifecta between heavy metals and parasites and nanotech. And I feel that that we're being nanoformed, not terraformed, that they're putting this nano in the clouds, in the earth, in the lettuce, in the spinach, in the cows, and in you. Not you specifically, but in humans. So what is really going on, and why are they using, for instance, chitosan from insects as a substrate to grow with the nano? Again, there's this very strange relationship between parasites and nanotech and heavy metals. And why do I say parasites? Well, why is that they went after ivermectin? Because it works against parasites. And I, having done a deep dive on parasites, probably one of the best articles I've ever written in my life, how I lost my partner to a parasite, looking at the natural world and how, for instance, a small microscopic puppeteer can control an entire human, like in the case of toxoplasmosis, that, again, a very, very small creature can have an impact on an entire human being's behavior, and people thinking that that's outlandish, but that is a fact, that parasites can modify behavior. So at this point in my research, knowing that this is an old playbook when I speak about viruses, because you can see the pandemic impresario, aka Fauci, behind AIDS, behind Zika, and amping up, I would argue that perhaps all the viruses are synthetic, and that there is some otherworldly force, just maybe like in the FBI and the X-Files episode, where some alien artificial intelligence has made a deal with some of these leaders, and that there's a harvest going on. And I know that that sounds really crazy, but if you even look at, you know, you can look at grants, you can look at studies. Like I just posted the other day, DARPA awards Moderna, which I call Moderna Therapeutics, grants them $25 million to develop messenger RNA therapeutics. And again, if you read Ray Kurzweil's book, where it specifically says that the human cell will be replaced by my nanotech. I think that there is a bigger agenda afoot, and this nanotech and this path to singularity is to merge man with machine. And you can distill it and say this is evil and make it like Christian versus Satan. But look, I eat meat. Am I evil? No. So if we're food for some creature and there's a harvest, because I'm sorry, there's a silent, blatant culling going on. And I called it and I knew it and many people did, and it's not abated for those out there like, the coronavirus is over. No, it's not. We're just starting to mop up the mess. And every single day we learn a little bit more about this never before used technology. And I would recommend your audience just look at the film Final Days. I'm a big fan of Karen Kingston's work, and she's been up front and center. A handful of people have. I guess I took delight in the fact, you know, just like I put out a movie on George Floyd, and it's the best movie, and I know more about that psyop than anyone on this planet. But no one's really gone as deep as I have, and you don't know. I relished in the fact that very few people have covered Charles Lieber. George Webb has, Courtney Turner has, Ryan Christian has, Joshua Reed has. These are my colleagues. And in fact, I just did a roundtable with Courtney Turner and Ryan Christian of The Last American Vagabond, comparing notes. And I trust, you know, you said you just recently learned of his work, that maybe in another 3 years we'll know the extent of Charles Lieber's legacy, that so-called legacy and impact on our human species.
Yes, and maybe sooner than that, the way things are going, Miriam. And you noted earlier, Miriam, that Professor Charles Lieber's father, Robert Lieber, has an interesting background. There seems to be a continuity in spying activity and lying about their covert research. Robert worked on missile defense systems in the military and exotic radar systems with defense contractors such as RCA, which was funded by ARPA. And Charles Lieber was funded in Harvard's nanotube work by DARPA. You do have a legacy here. And did you find more information that you think is important to share with listeners about Robert Lieber?
Well, he worked for RCA, ITT, the Navy. They say he was an RCA satellite spy. And the RCA Aegis unit is now run by Lockheed Martin. And so it seems that there's a part, I'd have to go back, it was actually not an article that I wrote, where the early beginnings they changed his name and didn't talk about his real roots, Daddy Lieber, Robert Lieber. But he was arguably a spook. His son has fallen in his footsteps. Daddy has contributed to digital computer simulation of radar systems, which now is for Lockheed Martin. He was a satellite tracking and radar spy. He also worked for Serco and Quinitai Q and the British Privy Council. So does it stay in the family? Again, he was too prized of an asset to go to jail. Of course, they talked about his fourth stage cancer, which is now miraculously in remission. I want to say that early on, I was reading the docket and following the case. I was like, wow, the judge is 93 years old, also graduated from Harvard, and it was Massachusetts, where he's from, had right. just declared...
You're talking about Charles Lieber here.
Yes, sorry, I'm talking about Charles Lieber. So Massachusetts had just declared a lockdown, and Charlie had to relinquish his passport, and yet the day after the lockdown in the docket, you could see he goes to meet with the judge, and she grants him permission to go to, I think it was Pennsylvania or Jersey. Point is, he was allowed to leave the state. So again, we are under lockdown. We have to bury our loved ones via Zoom, but people like Charlie get special permission when apparently initially he was thought to be a spy. So why is that? Why is that he gets, you know, restitution of $33,000, but he's a free man.
Indeed, and a lot of the work that he had been involved with is sort of swept under the rug, but I do believe it's going to come back up, and people such as Dr. Peter Hotez has made the news recently, and I think this is interesting because now I believe there are other researchers connecting dots. Dr. Hotez, as many listeners might know, was making numerous appearances on network TV advocating to take the, it's, I don't know what brand, but he was suggesting, but he was saying take the shots. And now there's news about connections with Dr. Hotez and Dr. Fauci and Dr. Yang, Dr. Du, Dr. Yusen with Chinese military scientists, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and the Furin Cleavage Site. And that is the term for, I think, it's how to create the gain of function. I think it's a space that it can accept a synthetic protein within the genetic protein chains. But Dr. Yusen is a former director of the Laboratory of Pathogen and Biosecurity at the Beijing Institute of Microbiology, and he filed the world's first patent application for a COVID-19 vaccine in China way back in February of 2020, I think. What is the implication here of this recent news regarding Peter Hotez?
Peter Hotez has been a big pharma shill for a long, long time. And I have a group on Twitter. We're about 50. And we've been going strong since 2018 when I created the group. And Hotez is maybe now, in the past couple of weeks, more popular for his cowardliness. And he's never, no matter how much money you throw at him, his overlords will not allow him to speak with RFK Jr. He's arguably even wrote a book to kind of send people along a different track that his child is not autistic because of vaccines, and he's sold his soul to the devil. I don't know how anyone can take this bow tie wearing shill seriously. There's a montage circulating on social media of every time he's flip-flopped. I mean, he has no credibility, and yet the prostitutes and the parrots position him as having any credibility. You're referencing a story that Kanoka News put out of all these links. You know, you mentioned this Yuzhen, who's dead. I mean, he was shortly after the patent fell off a roof at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and so who knows? But this SARS-CoV has been in motion, and I mean, this brings forth the origin story. So not many people know that the U.S. Senate put out a 300-page report called Muddying the Waters. And I say muddy waters ain't just a blues singer anymore, folks. They are muddying the waters. And there's so much truth mixed with lies. And it's very, very difficult to make sense of it all. when you look at the playbook of viruses, patient zero is always very fuzzy. And in fact, in this origin story, there's several patient zeros. Apparently, there was a patient zero who worked at the wet market when we were still peddling that crock, which is really, people should watch the film Contagion, which was dictated by Larry Brilliant, who worked for The Who and worked for Google. And he, I have a quote of his at Aspen Institute, sitting beside Fauci saying, "We went to Hollywood and told them to make this movie." Who's we, buddy? Who's we? So arguably, this wet market nonsense that if anyone still is peddling pangolin or raccoon dog BS. So they are muddying the waters, and there's links between, you know, the PLA and WIV and UC Davis, America, Fauci, and you're referencing Hotez and his role, distinguished professor at Baylor, please. And so he had a substantial research grant from the NIAID, aka Fauci, and this had to do with RBD, recombinant protein-based SARS vaccine for biodefense. And Dr. Shibo Jiang was listed as the principal investigator. The other person that you mentioned, his name is Yusen, and he is the one who leapt off of the WIV roof and is dead. So what is going on when you have the PLA and then you have American research facilities and you have Fauci? It seems like a big family. And they're messing, you know, let's bring in Ralph Baric and his humanized mice and Peter Daszak and EcoHealth Alliance. And it's all connected. And the truth is that these virus hunters, quote unquote, have been at it for a really long time. And if you take a step back and you look at this supposed science, it's Frankenstein. It's horrific. It's scary. What are they doing? Mixing, splicing. It's the same thing with GMO. You know, we've normalized that it's okay to splice a trout with a tomato. It's like leave nature alone. So on one hand, it's pandemic preparedness. But then if it's the Chinese, it's a bioweapon. And so the IC, the intelligent communities also came out with a 10-page flimsy report, in my opinion, and they all disagree. But one thing they agree on is this ain't a bioweapon. And so they're edging, what they're doing is they're edging closer. They're co-opting the narrative. It's like, okay, now they're ready to, you know, now it's a laboratory leak, but it was a ventilation issue. It wasn't purposeful. Not true. I don't buy that for a nanosecond.
Right now, this fourth industrial complex and the blockchain systems to tokenize real world assets or private property with attached credit scores that aligned with a certain agenda is being aggressively pursued and is an important foundation, as we're learning, for the back end of smart cities. And for decades, Charles Lieber and others developed nanosensors for monitoring parts of the human body. They call it the Internet of Bodies, as you've pointed out. And with this level of transhuman technology, it's setting up a parallel virtual world, tokenizing human organs, and that doesn't seem far-fetched right now at all. If listeners want to learn more about your work, Mariam, how would they go find your articles and you on social media?
Thank you, Jeff. I would invite people to follow me on Twitter, 10 Appeals, and Elon Musk later, that I don't think is our friend. So I'm at Mariam Hinane, M-A-R-Y-A-M as in Mary, H-E-N-E-I-N. I'm best known for the film Vanishing of the Bees. And people can also check out my very underestimated or under just hidden film called The Real Timeline on My Movies Plus, on the George Floyd PSYOP. I have a protocol, a collection of protocol for vaccine-injured human beings. And I also have an 80-page ebook that first came out in part on the Tenpenny Report called Understanding the Mechanisms of the COVID-19 quote-unquote vaccine. All of that can be found on MiriamHenane.com. And I love DMs. I love having people reach out to me. For instance, not only did they delete my ebook, Trying to Help Human Beings That Are Suffering, on Smashwords, they not only deleted my book, but all my other ebooks and my 6-year profile on Smashwords. So people can help me stay alive, so to speak, because I love being a journalist and I'm a damn good one. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Miriam, for being a guest on In Other News. Really appreciate your work.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.